Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia Jr., and with me, as always, is the idea machine that is Jennifer Wollman. Jennifer, say hi.
Hi. The idea machine. I kind of like that.
There you go. Listen, I'm bringing it after 100 episodes. Now I have an idea where I'm going with this.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I never have any idea where you're going.
There you go.
So today we have a super special guest. Her name is Courtney Ferrero, and she is a client relations specialist with CamaPlan Investing, and she's going to talk about investing in real estate and using your SEP IRA to do it. SEP stands for
Self-directed.
It's a self-directed. What does it stand for?
Self-employed plan.
Thank you.
Self-employed plan. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There you go. And that is a self-directed IRA. So you were right. So welcome, Courtney. And thank you so much for joining us. I met Courtney at Beth Azor's Women's Summit for Investing in Real Estate. And there were a lot of questions about how to invest in real estate. And people were super excited to meet Courtney and hear about the SEP IRAs and how to get started. So before we get started into the details of that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Courtney?
Sure. Thank you for having me. I have a background in hospitality. I went to Johnson & Wales University up in Rhode Island and primarily picked the major because I couldn't sit still. And I wanted to do something that I could move around and, you know, not be sitting at a desk all day. So it worked out well for me. As much as I look back on the journey, I think, how did I get to where I'm at right now? So started with a career in hotel restaurant management, ended up in food retail in the beginning of my career, you know, holidays, nights, weekends, that type of thing. Then I moved on to Aramark, and I did all the dining services for all the doctors in the hospital. So that was a great journey for me as well, which then led me to getting married and having a family. I'm the mother of four beautiful daughters, and, you know, four daughters in 7 years doesn't make it easy for you to work full time. So I transitioned into starting with a friend of mine from Johnson & Wales. We together started a catering party service business. So hence I'm working again every weekend, which led me to this current job that I'm in now. I was tired of working weekends, holidays, nights, going to everybody else's parties. So I transitioned into CamaPlan. I started out as the receptionist here 2.5 years ago, and they quickly moved me into the back. I was able to, they put me in sales support, which was great. They saw something in me that I probably didn't see in myself at the time, but here I am, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. And the journey's been wonderful so far.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing your personal story. And before we get started, I do want to do a disclaimer. This episode is not financial or legal advice and is for informational purposes only. It's to determine if purchasing real estate is right for you and to give you an idea of different vehicles you can use to purchase it with. But as with anything that we do on this show, before you go to implement anything, please consult with your financial advisors, CPAs, and your own attorneys, as this information will affect people in different ways. So,
thank you for that.
So now tell us a bit about CamaPlan and how we can do our favorite topic, which is buying and investing in commercial real estate.
Sure. So we have the same disclaimer I should probably mention as well. You know, we always recommend that you consult consult with the experts, financial and tax advisors, legal advisors as well. So we at Camaplan, we're a neutral third party custodian. We make it possible for you to do this type of investing. So you're not going to be able to do this, you know, alternative investing through Vanguard, Schwab, your Fidelities of the, you know, the brokerage houses. So the IRS requires a neutral third party custodian, and that's where we come in. So we are basically record keepers, bookkeepers of the paperwork, the information. We make it possible for you to do the type of investing, and you bring the investment to Camaplan. We don't tell you what to invest in. We're not financial advisors. We are simply making sure that you're not creating a prohibited transaction for yourself and that the type of investment that you're doing is allowable by the IRS.
So why don't you give us some examples of the prohibitive transactions and what is allowed by the IRS?
So prohibited transaction would be anybody within direct lineage, your parents, your children, any kind of direct lineage. And it's allowable transactions would be a sibling or someone, you know, an in-law or something along those lines. Now, prohibited also would be you doing self-dealing. So in the eyes of the IRS, if you're going to take your retirement funds and purchase a business that you're managing partner, that you're decision maker, that you are 100% involved with, then that's a prohibited transaction. So you can't, they consider it double dipping. You can't invest with your own money into yourself, but you can loan a friend money to start their company or buy a home, or you can buy a real estate piece of real estate with your retirement funds, as long as it's not your vacation property.
Now, if I buy, so some transactions are tricky, and since you're in the hospitality industry, I think this might be an appropriate question. So certain real estate is considered also a business. Like if you buy a hotel or if you buy self-storage, that's considered a business as well. So How would that work with a SEP IRA? Do you know?
So it will cause you to generate some unrelated business income tax. So you're going to have probably be issued a K-1 and have some tax that you're going to have to pay on the capital gains on that.
Okay, but you would, in that instance, I can't buy a business, like I can't go out and buy a restaurant with my SEP IRA, but I could buy a hotel that maybe has a restaurant in it.
Right. Well, you could buy either as long as you're not the person who is making the decision. So if you wanted to take your SEP IRA and invest $100,000, let's say, into a hotel, you can do that.
Okay. So as a syndication, I can use my SEP IRA for a hotel syndication.
Correct.
Okay. But I can't be the person managing the hotel if it's a small
Correct.
Local hotel, I can't be the one managing it.
Right. You can't go in there and paint the walls. You can't, you know, hammer a nail into the wall and hang a picture. You do have to have somebody in between, a middleman that you're paying to do the, you know, do the improvements.
So according to that end, if you buy an office building or a multifamily, you know, apartment building, do you have to, you know, hire a management company for that? And you couldn't self-manage the property?
Correct. You could interview the tenants. You can make decisions on, you know, who you want living there or not living there, but you can't go in and manage the, you know, you can collect the rent checks, but you can't go in and fix the hot water heater or do the electrical work yourself. Everything is contracted out and run by someone else, but your IRA does pay for all those improvements that you're going to be making.
When you acquire property through a SEP or, you know, through a self-directed IRA, do you know how title is held? Is title held under you? Because, you know, you're the custodian. So the money I first have to open an account with Camaplan, for example, right? As a self-directed IRA, I could roll over my IRA money into this self-directed IRA with you as the custodian. But when I'm going to go purchase the property, is the title of that property held under me or an LLC that I create? Or is there anything different in the way that title, that you take ownership of the property?
It's going to be held in your IRA. So it's become a plan for the benefit of your first and last name, and then the type of IRA that you have. So it doesn't necessarily have to just be a SEP. It could be a traditional, it could be a Roth, it could be a simple. It could be any type of the different type of IRA, as long as it's retirement funds and it's coming from retirement funds that you're putting the money in. But that's how the titling would read on that property.
You can only use the funds that are in that IRA. You can, if you are very close to making the deal work and you need extra funds to make it happen, can you use your personal funds and add it to that to make the acquisition?
You can. You can partner with cash. You can also partner with someone else who has IRA funds. So whatever the percentage of your IRA that's contributing to this property is what's going to come back into your IRA. So let's make it easy. Let's say it's a 50-50 split that you're both contributing with your IRA. You're each going to get 50% back on that investment. Now, you're also going to be paying 50% of the repairs. So if you need a new roof, if you need a new hot water heater, if the building needs to be painted, then your IRA would split the cost on that as well.
Basically, all proceeds, all rents, and all expenses, everything goes through the IRA itself.
Correct.
How does that work? So then you wouldn't be able to take any of the deductions or expense that, correct? How does
right.
that work from a tax perspective?
Right. So, you have to look at the each individual deal itself and see that this is where the tax advisor comes in and tells you which is the best deal for you to do. If you're going to do this through your IRA or if you're not going to do this through your IRA with depreciation and that type of thing.
So let me ask you a question, because I had, when I found out that we were going to have this conversation with you, I was so excited because a few years back, I did a deal representing the seller on a multifamily apartment building, and the buyer was actually using self-directed, his self-directed IRA fund. So it was the first time that I saw it in action. And this was a property that was built in 1971. And so, one of the things that the owner, the buyer did was he wanted to take a look at the pipes of the building, right? And they were in good shape, but he knew that perhaps this would be a cost that would be incurred in the future. And I heard conversation from the buyer's agent and the buyer. We were out there and they said, yeah, because I only have a certain amount of funds in this self-directed IRA. And if this expense happens, a year after I buy the property, I may not have enough funds in that IRA to be able to fix it. And that I found that interesting that, and perhaps this is a rule that has changed. Maybe I misunderstood what he was saying, but if you do buy the property with self-directed IRA, you've depleted most of your funds into the acquisition of the property. And now you need to make a capital, investment because there's a big item that has to be fixed. How does that work? Because don't all the funds have to come from the self-directed IRA?
They should. And if your IRA is going to take a loan, it's going to be non-recourse loan, which the interest rates are going to be higher. So if you know going into the deal that you're not going to have enough money, if you know that there's going to be an issue like that, typically what most people do is they have ample funds. So they're going to have extra money and you can put it into an LLC. You don't have to put it into an LLC. We do recommend that you have a separate EIN number for the property, and then your IRA would be holding that EIN number. So it's not attached to your personal Social Security number. But if you know that you're going to need ample funds, so this is why the syndications work so well, because they can, you have multiple people investing in it. But if you are doing this on your own and you feel like you're going to need some extra funds, you can go to a bank. We do have some resources of people that do these types of loans, but it is a non-recourse loan and it's going to be in a higher interest rate and they're harder to get.
But are you able to use your personal funds that are outside of the IRA to deal with those big items?
So you can partner from the beginning. You can't go back and put them in. You can partner from the beginning with your personal funds.
So it's almost like if I knew that the cost of this big item might be 80 grand, I might say, well, from the beginning, I'm going to put this 80 grand as a partner in cash so that I have that in there and then I don't have to worry about dealing with this issue where I have to go to a bank, get a very high interest rate because it has to be a non-recourse loan and things like that.
So the SEP IRA can partner with the actual owner of the IRA?
Yes, the SEP. So the SEP, the simple, the Roth, the traditional, anybody can partner together.
Okay.
So if Jennifer, you have a SEP and Ferdinand, you have a Roth, you two can partner together, no matter what the percentage is. So just depending on how much is coming out of your SEP and how much is coming out of your Roth, that would those percentages would go back into the respective IRAs.
Okay, what I'm not clear on though is can Jennifer partner with Jennifer's yes. SEP IRA? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Jennifer, and my spouse, if my spouse has a SEP IRA and I have a SEP IRA, we can partner, or he has a 401k or whatever. Okay.
Yes, that is not a prohibited transaction. You can have multiple different IRAs that partner together in one deal.
And Courtney, you realize that Jennifer and I are already shopping. Yes, we're having this conversation with you. We're already shopping.
Good. Good.
Well, the funny thing is, way before I got started, I did set up a SEP as a way to start investing in real estate, but I never ended up using the SEP because I wasn't involved in syndication at the time. But now I'm getting more involved in syndication because I love the idea of being able to invest in asset classes in areas that I don't know, or much bigger asset classes that I would never be able to do on my own or wouldn't want to. And so now the SEP is coming back into my sphere of possibilities. So.
Right. And that's the nice thing to have if you're self-employed, because you can, your contribution limits are higher.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah. Our boss says he loves the Roth because anything that comes back into the Roth is tax-free. So you've already paid the taxes on that ahead of time. So that's a really good way to increase your wealth quicker. That's what Peter Thiel did with the PayPal. He used his Roth IRA to do that investing.
How is investing with a Roth different than with a SEP?
Well, with a Roth, you can only do the contribution limits aren't as high with the individual Roth. The SEP is higher contribution. So it just depends on your situation. Some people can't do a SEP if they're not self-employed, and they also would need to do a conversion if they make over a certain threshold income wise. And depending on, this is where your tax advisor comes in, he'll tell you what the best account would be for you to open. So if you make over a certain amount, you file jointly, you file individually, there's income thresholds that you have to meet that you can't go above. And if you do go above, you would open a traditional account and do what they call as a backdoor Roth. Convert those funds at the time into the Roth. So then you could do your investing with the Roth.
So basically you would then pay those taxes at that point, right? You convert it into a Roth. Now I'm going to acquire the property. Maybe in 5 years, that property goes up by 40%. I flip it, I sell it. It goes back into the Roth, but I've already paid those taxes.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
So that money, you know, so that is brilliant.
And at the time of conversion, you can pay the taxes at that time, or you can pay them when you file your taxes in that tax year that you've done that. So you can waive. Either way, you are paying taxes. All right.
Yeah. Right. But you're paying today's taxes, you know, with the idea that now any gains to the investment are going to come back into the Roth, and I'm not going to pay taxes on those gains. I love you, Courtney.
I told you she was saying.
You told me, you told me.
And I hope you have a Roth all set up.
That's very smart. Yeah, exactly. So tell me a little bit about what is the role of the custodian in this process? Because, you know, of course, we've spoken in this very podcast about 1031 exchanges and having that third intermediary. But, you know, they come in and out. It seems to me that the custodian in this case would have a longer role to play throughout the life of the investment.
Right. So we are record keepers. So we do keep, you know, we have all record of all the transactions that you're doing. We are responsible for moving your funds into Camaplan. So the first thing you would do would be to open an account. The next thing that happens is you move your money. If you're doing moving money from a 401k, it's going to be considered a rollover. If you're moving money from an IRA, it's considered a transfer. We make sure that you're doing those things properly. We ask you for documentation. We ask you for a statement from the account that you're moving the funds from. We double check and make sure that You're not creating, you know, you're not trying to move money from a traditional right into a Roth. You're not creating any type of taxable event for yourself. These things are not taxable, but a rollover would be reportable. So you're going to receive a 1099 when you file your taxes. CamaPlan will send our clients any tax forms that they need. We don't do your taxes for you, but if you have something that needs a tax form, we will send that 5498 or a 1099, those type of forms.
What would you recommend someone that maybe has the intention of investing the funds through a self-directed IRA to buy commercial real estate, for them to open the account at the moment that they're ready to make this purchase, or to maybe open the account with you as custodian way in advance, and then once they're ready, they already have everything set up for that?
It depends on the structure of the deal that they're trying to do. So there's a couple. I go individual case by case. But it does not cost, I usually recommend everyone open the account, have it open. It's going to cost you $75 to have your account open. The account will stay there until you're ready to move your funds. So if you're not ready yet for the deal, you want to give yourself at least 2 weeks to move the money into CamaPlan. Depending on who the custodian is, I've seen it take longer than that. Your Fidelities, your Schwabs, your Vanguards, they're pretty quick. They move the money in a couple days. So you don't want to give yourself too tight of a timeline to get the funds to where they need to go. There's paperwork that's required for money coming in. There's paperwork that's required for money going out. So if you say to me, you know, I'm ready to do the deal next month, I'm going to recommend you get the account open. In about a week, we'll start moving your funds over, transfer your money. Make sure all the paperwork is filled out in good order. You're going to let us know where the money is going. You're going to be sending us wire instructions and a detailed form. It's called an asset purchase directive. You're directing us onto where your funds are going. So if they're going to ABC Corp or if they're going, you know, to a closing, wherever they are. So CamaPlan, if there's anything we need to sign for, you know, on top of your IRA signature, then we're double checking that everything is in good order and the money's going out the door. We like to say that we get the transactions out the door in 48 hours after the funds are here and everything's in good order. But it all depends on, you know, moving the funds. It's not going to cost you anything. It will, once the asset goes out the door, the fee for that asset is $150. If you're doing a note, a private placement, different types of things. If you're doing a real estate deal, it's a little different. It's $175. So I kind of go case by case and see what the client is really trying to do. If they know, I know I spoke with someone from the summit and they weren't ready for the deal until I believe it's August. So we said, look, leave your money where it is. Bring it over when you're closer to the deal and ready to go. But her account is open and ready when she's ready.
So tell me some more about what you heard at the conference. What were some of the questions you got? I know your table was extremely busy.
So unfortunately, one woman had just the year before distributed her entire 401k to herself. So she paid an early distribution and she also paid taxes, not knowing that this type of investing was possible for her to do. So she's got some IRA money and different things, but that's, you know, that's why we always say before you do anything, speak with, you know, a tax advisor, financial advisor, legal advisor. We can certainly tell you that we're here for you. She had no idea that this type of neutral third party existed. So that's where she happened to, you know, fall into that.
And she did that cash out specifically to buy real
estate.
She did.
She bought a multifamily unit. Hopefully she'll make up, you know, some of that money with the unit, with the multifamily and make it back when she sells the property down the road. But yeah.
So what are some of the other, what are some mistakes that you see people make?
I've seen someone do a Roth conversion of $1 million and they didn't listen to anyone, heed the advice of, you know, we send emails, we're on, everything's recorded, everything's on paper. you're going to have to pay taxes on this $1 million. I know. I'll do it later. And then tax time comes and he doesn't have the money to pay for the conversion fees. So, you know, you have to be careful and you have to make sure that you're speaking with people before you start doing things. Seeing people try to move money from a traditional into a Roth. And, you know, that's what we're there for, to catch these things and let them know.
If somebody's leaving their company for whatever reason, they're either retiring or they decide they want to try real estate investing full time or whatever the reason is, but they have a 401k with their company. If they're considering going into real estate, you would be a great person to call before they leave so they can roll over to Cama Plan.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So you don't want to get in the trap where you're moving it to. My husband and I made this mistake before I worked here. He left one company and rolled it right into the next company, and then you can't move it. So you want to either roll it into an IRA somewhere if you're not sure what you're doing yet, or if you know that you have something to invest in, call us and roll it right into Cama Plan.
Along that line of your husband's and yours experience, so if he was leaving one company and going to another one, he could have taken his old company's IRA, put it with Cama Plan. If his new company had a 401k, would he still be able to invest in that 401k?
Yes.
As long as he's not adding money the same year into the Cama Plan one, correct?
Right. So the rollover funds from the old job are going to move into a rollover IRA. So it's no longer in a 401k. So when he moves into the new, or he could, he did roll it right into the 401k with the existing, you know, the new company. You can roll it into an IRA separate of the new position that you're starting, and you are still eligible to start investing in a 401k with the new company.
That's good to know, because it's nice to keep your options open so you don't have all your eggs in one basket. And Absolutely. And I love the fact that you did discuss some of the mistakes, because I know so many people, once they make the decision to invest in real estate, or they attend a conference, or they attend, there's so many of these how-to seminars that get you to invest in syndications or do your fix and flips or whatever it is, that people get excited and they haven't really set up their toolkit and have the correct people to guide them and advise them through the process. So I love the fact that you say, first of all, talk specifically to your own personal financial and tax advisors to see how it affects you. And then if I'm the way to go, Cama Plan and buying it through a 401k, an IRA, or a SEP set it up and then start searching and looking, instead of finding the property and then trying to work your way backwards and making it work, because that's where mistakes are made. So thank you so much for sharing those.
And one other thing to that, Jennifer. So if you do find a property and you're excited about it, don't put your own cash down as a deposit. So you're going to want to, you can borrow it from somebody, or you can have somebody put the money down for you and your IRA pays them back, but you have to be careful on those. And I know when you find these deals, you got to move quickly. So it's good. It's good as well, if you know that you're actively shopping for a property, to have your account set up and some funds in there and ready to go, even if it's just $1,000 to put the earnest money down on that account, on that house, so that you don't lose it.
Let me ask you, if you don't mind, because I have some technical questions, but let's go through a scenario. I open up my custodial account with Cama Plan, and now I'm ready to buy a multifamily apartment building. I purchase it, everything goes well, and I hire a management company, right? Because I cannot personally benefit from managing the property, right? I can't get management fees, so I got to have a third party manage. Now I hire the management company. And now they're actively managing the property. Now they have to pay the water bill, the electricity, you know, money's coming in and out. How is that money moved? Is that through an account? Is that through the same account in Cama? Basically, there's a checkbook and all of the checks are made from that account. Is that how it works?
So the easiest way to handle that is to set up a checkbook LLC so that your manager is free to write checks at will and when he can, whatever he needs the check for. Now, if you don't have it set up through an LLC, the invoice needs to come into Cama Plan. will generate the invoice and the payment and send the check out to who it needs to go to. So the, you know, if it's the plumber, if it's the electrician, if we'll take the invoice and send them, we'll take the bill and send them the check out of your IRA. It all depends on your circumstance too, for a checkbook LLC. That's again, we recommend that you set that up with an attorney. You let them know what you're trying to do, and they'll let you know the best way to handle doing the transactions in and out of that checkbook LLC, if it's best for you for what you're doing with that unit.
And you have relationships with banks? Like when I go to CamaPlan, there's a bank already that you have a relationship with to establish the checkbook LLC and to have everything set up?
So you'll establish that on your own. So we have references on our website of who we work with. We don't necessarily recommend and say, you know, you have to use this person, but we do have resources that allow, you know, it to make it easier for you to find someone that we know that we've worked with in the past and our clients have worked with that can help you do what you need to do.
And all the funds go into that checkbook LLC, but you monitor the you know, throughout the life of the investment.
Once it's in the checkbook LLC, that is you're handling all those transactions. CamaPlan only knows that you have a checkbook LLC. We don't know what assets you're purchasing in and out of that checkbook LLC. So you want to make sure that you're not doing anything prohibited in the event you were to be audited. You want to make sure that you're doing everything properly in the eyes of the IRS.
Right. You're not paying for your vehicle, for your personal vehicle through a, right. I get that. Right.
With the SEP, can I own more than one property within that SEP, or am I setting up individual corporations within my SEP and individual checking LLCs per property, or is it one entity that holds everything and one checkbook LLC that manages everything overall?
So it depends on how you want to set it up. You can have everything. You can have multiple properties inside of that. One SEP, one checkbook LLC attached to that SEP. I've seen people do individual LLCs for individual properties. They do multiple accounts for individual properties. It all depends on your comfort level and how you would like to set that up. And again, that would be, you know, your tax advisor who's going to give you the recommendations. And then we do recommend that you have everything, you know, it's attached to an EIN. So if you have different properties, each has its own EIN. We did meet that one lady down in at the summit who had all of her personal real estate in her name. And then her daughter was in an accident and they went after her, all of her real estate. So you don't want to keep anything in your personal name. You want everything to be separate.
Good to know. Great advice.
Absolutely. So is there anything that you would like people to know about this vehicle? You know, I mean, I know that it goes beyond real estate, right? You could invest in so many different things, but I wonder if some people think it's, you know, maybe they see it costly, maybe they see it complicated, but it sounds to me like it's pretty straightforward in the way that you have shared that information with us. So is there anything that you think people should know about this that we maybe haven't discussed?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that every deal is perfect, but it's not the stock market. It's not going to go up and down and up and down. And you're choosing the investment, your comfort level with who you're loaning your money to or what you're purchasing is, you know, that's in and of itself a positive thing because you're, you know, my husband and I, I would have never done this before if I didn't know about it and start working with CamaPlan. So we take his IRA funds and we do our own separate investing. And I do my due diligence. I make sure that the deal is good and that, you know, I know it's not 100% for anything. Nothing's guaranteed, but I'm happy with, you know, having this option and this opportunity to do this. CamaPlan is, I just want to say a little bit about the business. So it's Carl and Maggie. So I'm sure people wonder, you know, what's CAMA is the initials of our two owners, their brother and sister team. Carl and Maggie started the business about 20 years ago. Carl is really the face of CamaPlan. He's out speaking all over the country. And Maggie, as I say, are IT brains behind the processes that we need in place to make this happen every day. We don't have a huge team over here, but we all work very well together. Our main goal is customer service. And we make sure that we're picking up the phones. You're not going to sit on hold. And we take care of, we know you want to, you know, fund your deals in a timely manner. So, you know, we make sure that we take care of that. We're located outside of Philadelphia. And we actually have a building. Everyone's in the office every day working. So you can stop by and see us at any time if you're in the area. We love to, you know, meet who we talk to over the phone, and we don't ever, you know, we're putting a name to a face now. So, you know, that's nice too.
Well, see, maybe it's because we're in Miami, but I thought it was cama was Spanish for bed. So then I was like, yeah, you make your bed and then you lay in it. So you self-directed, you make good investments, you buy good commercial real estate.
And that is pretty passive. Think about it, because if it's a set plan, you really aren't allowed to be actively involved in it. So other than the checking and the monitoring, the record keeping and everything. So,
I mean, we have people investing in sheep and they sell the wool. I mean, there's all sorts of, there's so many different things that people bring to us. And they're interesting.
Well, look at that. In Florida, if you have livestock on land, you get a tax exemption. So now, instead of putting cows on it, which is typically what we do here, if you put sheep on it, now you've got two sources.
That is wonderful.
I got to connect the dots somehow in that story. I love that story. And I like sheep.
I love it.
That's great. If you have any land down there still, are you still... areas
to
build.
Still have some land.
We got enough for a couple of sheep.
That's great.
Great. Well, is there anything else that you want to let our listeners know in closing? We'll put all your contact information in our show notes so they can reach you and the links and everything. But
were we going to talk about the summit at all? Or
yes, I'd love to get your feedback on the summit. This was your first year there.
This was our first year, and one of our clients. I guess Beth was looking for a custodian to partner with. One of our clients recommended Camaplan. So we were thrilled to be there. What I like about Beth and the summit is she made you feel super comfortable, and everyone had, you know, everybody had a voice and could speak and ask questions. She wanted to know, get down to the nitty gritty, you know, how much, what are the numbers? How much money did you make? How much money did you lose? It was different than anything I've ever been to. I thought it was super informative, and the energy in the room was really great. So we're looking forward to going back next year.
Good. Well, we're looking forward to sharing your info with not only our listeners, but also our agents and everybody else that we know. So we love having a new name and option in our toolkit.
That's right.
And before we leave, just a quick fun fact. So, well, I don't know how fun it is because it deals with the tax code, but it's just a fact. So IRAs were created as part of the ERISA Act in 1974. And I'm sorry, I have no idea what that stands for. And the primary purpose of which was to bolster and reform the pension laws to provide individuals an alternative way to save for retirement. So I think this is an awesome option, and I know more people would like to take control of their future, and I think Camaplan is a great way to do just that. So thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure meeting you. And as soon as I met you, I'm like, oh, podcast guest.
Yeah, thank you for asking me. I told you this was my first podcast, so.
That's so great.
Excited. I didn't let Fernando know. So you did great. You're natural. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think people are really going to enjoy all the great information that you shared. We are very appreciative for you joining us. So there you go, guys. Not all the facts are fun, but they are facts. And we do appreciate you joining us. Thank you to Courtney for being here and representing Camaplan and sharing all this great data with us. And we are out of here, and we appreciate you listening in.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.